outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator. You bought it on sale in July and couldn't wait to fire that bad boy up at the first sight of a few flakes. It's a Sears Super Snow Blaster, the Corvette of snowblowers.
You really wish you'd gotten the car.
You, Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator, believe in absolute power and the absolute right to wake the neighbors at 6 a.m. to the sounds of thunderous snow throwing.
Give me something to throw.
Oh, would somebody please put sugar in his gas tank?
That would be pretty sweet, yeah.
So the next time you want to sleep in, only to be shaken by the sounds of snow-covered sidewalk power sculpting, open a window and extend a single-finger salute to Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator, a real American hero.
Early Morning Snowblower Operator.
Great, this guy just got a riding lawnmower for Christmas.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, December 20th. Only 5 days left till Christmas. And both of us are ready to go back to bed because we're fucking tired as hell, right?
Well, I mean, you know, that wasn't a very Christmassy. You start off where it's 5 days till Christmas and blickety blink, 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 blink.
Yeah. Well, just you know, we're tired. I'm fucking tired. I'm ready
tired.
To go back
to
bed.
I went to. I was out late and I got home late.
Yeah.
Woke up like at 5 to take someone from the airport, and then, you know, with LA traffic, it means I came straight from the airport here.
Yeah. Well, I salute you for that dedication.
You know, dedication to, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
It's an interesting thing, the whole, you know, airport situation rides. So, let me condense the story. Friend of a friend, like my friend's roommate, needs a ride. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find a ride. And this is a cool dude. He's been to a few of my shows. Very supportive. Hey, can you give me a ride? Sure, not a problem. Was it early? Yeah, but I was like, you know, good guy. And here's the thing. Uh-huh. In L.A., you don't have family here. So everybody asks for rides all the time.
Right.
My friend's was a little bit apprehensive about, you know, me giving him a ride because she thought, you know, well, maybe it's a little bit too much because he doesn't know me very well and she didn't want him to take advantage. I really don't understand, but she got kind of pissed that he asked for a ride.
Really?
Well, she got a little bit. She was like, why are you asking her for a ride? And I'm like, that's not a big deal because he's a cool guy and everybody needs help.
Yeah.
And that's something that occurred to me is that, you know, this isn't a town where people have roots as much. Mm-hmm. And so people always are going in and out of town. Like these times of years, it's like everyone's going, you know. But it's one of those things you got to learn when to, like, when you ask and then when you need to take a shuttle.
I see.
You know, this was fine, but sometimes
I would ask someone that. But he knows you, right?
It's he knows me. Like he no. It didn't bother me at all. But my friend was apprehensive because, you know, in LA, for those of you guys that don't know, it's a very transient town. People leave every day. People come every day. And so it's like it constantly. If you know, you can constantly have some friends always asking for rides. Like my roommate, one of my roommates, I mean, she was always leaving town and needing rides to and from. And it's funny because my other roommate always ended up having to pick her up and she'd always be so pissed.
Yeah.
She's like, for this amount of time of driving to the airport, this is when you need to start finding other ways.
Yeah.
Or
you
ask
see,
other people.
Yeah, I would get irritated.
But once in a while is not a problem.
Yeah. No, I know. But you know what? I wouldn't put someone through that. I would never ask anybody, you know, I mean, unless they're close family and shit.
6:30 flight or you have to leave at 6:30?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what time.
No?
No, I wouldn't ask someone that I only casually know, but he did, And you took him to the airport, and that was nice of you.
And he's a sweet
guy.
In
the rain and everything.
He's from Texas, too. He's like, I'm from Texas. He's like, this is what we do. He's like, mm-hmm. we, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, we help each other out.
Yeah, because everybody needs help in this town.
Yeah.
You need help anywhere you are, but this town, you need it a lot. Yeah. But everybody's really into themselves, so good luck with getting somebody there. No, it's good. It's good. It all works out. But, yeah, half of my friends are gone. And then one of my roommates, she already moved out this weekend.
She did.
So there's three of us girls, and the one was like, I'm going to go have my own adult apartment. You know, screw this, like, you know.
Are you irritated with that she did want that?
No, I'm really not.
I mean, that's what she wants.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not really irritated. Yeah. I think it's fine. I think that some of her reasoning I don't quite get, but I think wanting your own space is completely legitimate, and she's 35 mm-hmm. or 34, and yeah, I mean, that's fine. I think that the price of her apartment's way too much.
Yeah, but, you know, if she's willing to pay it, what
it's
do you
like
care?
It's, like, way too much for what she's got. Mm. Way too much. Like,
really?
You can have it's $1,500 a month for an apartment, and it's
where,
a cool
place. Hollywood?
Mm-hmm. Mm. But that's, like, you can get some really nice places for that.
Yeah, I suppose you could. Yeah,
one bedroom. Yeah. So anyway, so she moved out, and I'm actually happy for her because she's excited, and mm-hmm. she's got her space, and it's literally right across the street.
Oh, really?
It's the next street over, right across the street.
So you think you guys still going to stay close?
Well, she's already, like, you know, she's already like, last night she came over and didn't leave for a long time.
Really? She's already missing
you. Yeah, and, you know, didn't leave, and we had champagne and stuff. It was fun.
Yeah.
And the other one, you know, she's like, am I going to go to Canada? Am I going to stay here? Am I going to go back to Canada? Meanwhile, I'm like, I need a little direction here, people, because the first is kicking, and I need to know if I'm, you know, and I've been looking at places to go live.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at a place today, but she may or may not stay. If she stays, we'll probably stay in our apartment.
Yeah.
But if not, I'll move out, clearly.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know, people need their space, and it's totally legitimate.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. People want privacy. I mean, you know, given the choice, I don't think I ever had roommates.
Ever?
No, just women that I lived with. But not roommates per se, like another guy or something.
Mm. That's actually all I've ever had. Our roommates, and I mean that in the plural sense, the most purest form of plural. You know, you could do that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, a studio, we could cram three people in here. Let's do
why
it.
Not?
You know, shared my bedroom many times. You know, do what you could do what you got to do and.
Yeah, you do what you got to mm-hmm. do, you know. But, I mean, I can see where it wouldn't be too bad, you know, because, I mean, on the other hand, you're never alone, you know, you have company, mm-hmm. you have people you can talk to and stuff.
You take it for granted because, I mean, I'm really social, and I, my phone, when I get off of work, the phone's ringing. Hey, we're going to, you know, watch a movie at the house, or we're over here if you want to come. I mean, it's just constant going, and there's always these long chats that go on really late at night and stuff like that, which I love.
Right.
So the concept of having my own space sounds great, but then I'm like, man, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of that activity that I just am so used to it being part of my life.
Yeah.
Won't be there.
No.
So.
Yeah. Well.
Well.
What can you do?
Life changes. Life goes on.
Life goes on.
So.
I hope you find a place you like.
I do too.
In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest. She's going to call in, and she is she escaped from Romania when there was a lot of oppression there and stuff. So we're going to hear about that. Sounds like an interesting story.
Oh, wow. I thought this was all like this was a novel.
No, it's not a novel. This is like sort of a biography, I think.
Oh.
Or a true story, yeah. It's called Out of Transylvania.
It says Out of the Transylvania Night.
Oh, right.
Get it right, Sam.
Yeah. Well, I only saw part of it as you were holding it, but
we're prepared.
You know who's from Transylvania?
Who
is?
I didn't know anything.
Dracula.
Duh! I thought you were gonna say something like somebody we knew. I didn't even know that it existed. Is it really Transylvania?
Yeah, in Romania. Yeah.
Wow.
Mhm.
That's a lot. It has to live up to. You think it's really like what you think?
I don't know. Vlad the Impaler. That was Dracula. That was his name.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Dracula.
Dracula. That's the way they pronounced it in the movie Bram Stoker's Dracula. Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
a long time ago, though.
It was like, yeah.
Before your time.
Yeah, it was before my time. Not ancient. Thank you.
So listen, I gave you a double take this morning because you have no bra straps. You have bare shoulders, and I figured I may actually get a glimpse
of what?
Of your boobs without bra. Is that going to happen?
No.
No, she's hiding it.
No, it's just, it's kind of a no bra kind of day, because like I said, I mean, I was up since 5 and I got home around 1.
Yeah. So, I mean, but did you go out like this?
No, I looked hot last night. This is what happens when you sleep.
No, I'm sure, but did you, no, I'm, what I'm saying though,
without
you went out without a bra, right?
No.
No?
No.
I see, okay. So
I
this is just
have a bra
this morning. Wow.
How am I going to not have a bra on?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering this morning. That's why I gave it a double take there.
And I have a big scarf.
Yeah, you definitely have a big
over.
Scarf over it, so I can't see anything.
No, you nasty man.
Yeah.
Guys are so gross. Let me tell you.
Into boobs. Guys are into
They were
boobs.
Out last night. I wore a dress last night that I didn't wear a bra with because it's like a deep V, and then it's tight, so it kind of holds everything
You just
in place.
Said you don't go out without a bra.
Yeah, well, this is kind of like a built-in type bra situation. It's one of those dresses where the way it's cut and the fitting of it, it's tight, so there's no room for bra.
There's
you
no
know?
Juggling going on.
No. And so anyway, no, I wore that. It looked really nice. And then I put a big red bow on myself.
Mm.
And then I had glitter, and then I had a Santa hat on and tinsel.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you dressed all up for that.
Huh? Well, you know, you got to go all out. We're close to Christmas. We better get in the spirit.
There you go.
You know, some cleavage. No, I'm just playing. That's not the spirit.
So where'd you go, to a club or something?
No, bar? We went to a place downtown called the Varnish.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like a speakeasy kind of.
So you kind of like downtown now,
you know,
huh?
I live relatively close. When you're in Hollywood, it's just just right there. So downtown is fun. It's got like a different cross section of people. It's really fun. But it was like the unofficial work party last night. So a lot of people from work came and we just had a blast.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, from the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it was really fun, really good. So guess who came into the restaurant I work at yesterday?
Oh, well, I don't know where to begin. Tell me.
So I go to greet
Sandra Bullock.
No, one of our guests from LA Talk Radio.
Oh, really?
It was Christopher Rice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was there,
yeah,
and so you recognized him.
He recognized me, actually. We walked in, and I was like, he looks so familiar. And I'm thinking, who is this?
Yeah.
He's like, do you have a radio show? I'm like, I do. And I was like, oh, Christopher Rice. And da-da-da, we talking. He's like, so how's it going? I'm
it's
like,
cool
well.
Cool you remembered him.
Really cool. He's like, so how's it going? I'm like, well, living the dream.
Yeah.
What table would you like?
All right, here we go. I think our guest is calling. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Kira. Go ahead. Hello.
Hi, Sam. It's Aura. How are you?
Yes, good. It's Aura, right? That's how you pronounce
yes,
it?
That's,
okay.
That's correct.
Yes, good morning to you. Thank you so much for calling us. Where are you calling us from? Are you in town here?
Yes, I am in town. I'm in Los Angeles. I live in South Bay in Rancho Palos Verdes.
Oh, wow. Now, that's a nice area. I mean, to get all the way from Romania to... Palace.
that's really moving on up.
Yeah, there you go. It's beautiful there. And
it's very hilly, and probably that's why somehow it's reminding me of Transylvania.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. But no Ceausescu there, huh?
And no Ceausescu, and obviously the ocean was not that close to me when I was living in Transylvania.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, you know, you've got quite a story, and it's good that you're able to laugh now and live a normal life. But so you're originally from Transylvania. What is that place like?
I mean, I didn't even know it really existed. I always thought it was just a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, not to expose my ignorance, but that's what I do on the show, is I just expose how much I don't know. So anyway, continue.
Well, no, Transylvania is a region, actually, in Romania, and it was under the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. And so that's why you have a very interesting mix of ethnicities in Transylvania. You have Germans, you have Hungarians, and you have Romanians.
Oh.
And so, yeah.
Do they live peacefully?
They do. Actually, my best friends were always Hungarians, you know, and Germans. And I'm a quarter Hungarian, a quarter German, and then the Romanian side actually has Greek origins.
Oh.
So, you know, yeah, so my ancestors actually came from Greece, and they settled down in Romania.
Oh, wow. My ancestors came from Greece, too, you know. My father was born there, yeah, but he came He moved out of there when he was young, so I, you know, not many stories about Greece. But yeah, I can totally understand, you know, that whole area and everything. So now, what was it like during your childhood? Tell us a little bit about the environment there. Was that like during the 60s, 70s?
Yeah, so I was born in 1971, and Romania actually was communist between 1947 and 1989.
Right.
And so the moment, you know, the government, you know, became entrenched, you know, people started being arrested, and the targeted ones were the intellectuals, because they were the ones that were understanding the new regime, and they were the ones, you know, the government was afraid they are going to retaliate.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, you know, prisons are going to, you know, be started, you know, filled up, you know, with political prisoners.
Right.
And so initially in Romania, it was not like that. I mean, it was a socialist country, and it was, you know, the classes, the middle classes were doing very well. And then, you know, over the years, the phones are going to be bugged, and the mail was searched.
Wow.
The borders of the country, you know, were closed. And one in three Romanians, you know, were informants for the Securitate. And
really?
It was not because they wanted, you know, to become informants. It's because, yeah, you know, they were blackmailed because, you know, one of their probably members of their family had some ties with the Western world. So all of a sudden, you know, another member of the family, to save the one that was already blacklisted,
right,
became an informant for the Securitate. So,
right, yeah. Sometimes it's more effective to threaten a member of your family than to threaten you. You know, because, I know.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, especially we have the last name in Barus, you know, two of my uncles, they crossed the borders illegally. So they were caught both times.
Oh,
and so
crap.
They were sent to prisons, political prisons. And when they were released after 2 years, you know, when they got in, they weighed like 220 pounds. When they were released, they were 89 pounds. You know,
oh
so they
God.
Weighed 89 pounds
wow.
when they came out. So it was literally like a Holocaust.
Really? Yes.
And, yeah. And then the third time they were successful. And so they crossed the borders, they reached Turkey. And then from there, you know, they went to Germany, they settled down in Germany, and they talked against the regime, you know, on Voice of America, BBC, and Radio Free Europe.
Right.
Well, because we have the same last name, you know, obviously the remaining part of the family immediately was blacklisted. So my dad was, you know, picked up in the middle of the night every week, you know, to be questioned by the regime. So we really never knew if he was going to come back the following day.
Yeah, wow, that's
so
pretty scary for a child.
Yeah, it was a constant fear. It was like, I mean, Kafka, you know, the trial, you know, the book, it's probably something similar that I lived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're going to be summoned, you're going to be arrested, you're going to be convicted for a crime you didn't even commit and you were not even aware of.
Right, right. Wow, what kind of a life, you know?
How long did you live there again?
Until 1989. So, it was a revolution, 1989, and then that's when I was 18 years old. And then I lived, you know, Romania in 1997.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so I was 25 years old.
So you got to live there. Now, what was it after, let's say, the revolution or after things got back to, you know, after the Soviet Empire sort of, like, collapsed? And then things must have changed for you, right? I mean, did it stay a socialist country? Did you have democracy after that? How was it?
It was democracy, but, you know, obviously it's really hard after being indoctrinated for so many years, you know, and people being afraid of talking to their next-door neighbors, you know, being afraid of having their minds read. You cannot really change people's mentality, you know, in a couple of years. So we had the revolution in 1989. I was still in Romania until 1997. You know, it became a democratic regime. I mean, we had radio stations, you know, we had TV, you know, stations, because during the communist regime, there was one single TV station that was broadcasting, you know, 1 or 2 hours, and it was only propaganda, you know, for the communist regime.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, you have this new TV stations and the radio stations that were not, you know, they didn't belong, they were privately owned right now. And so you have foreign investors. And, you know, the society opened up, but it was the rhythm of people changing their mentality. It was really bothering to me.
Yeah.
And I'm really hyper, you know, I'm very, very, you know, ongoing, you know, like an energizing bunny. So things were like slowly moving towards a real democracy. And I said, okay, it's going to take generations after generations until people are going to stop being afraid and constantly looking over their shoulders if someone is following them. And so I don't want to live in Romania, not because, you know, the Romania was not going in the right direction, just because things were moving at a very, very slower pace.
Did you, like, when you're living there growing up as a girl, I mean, and that's what you knew, I mean, for you at that age, like, was it very, very difficult for you to fall in line and to be quiet and to not speak your mind? I mean, were you... Did you find that to be something that was easy for you, or was that very difficult? Did you have a lot of problems?
It was not easy because, as I said, I'm constantly hyper, and it's not that I was looking for attention. I mean, that's who I am. So I would, you know, design my own clothes that were definitely not fitting, you know, with the, you know, bleakness of the country and with the gray, you know, the omnipresent gray that was like literally spreading like a disease. And, you know, people were constantly like that. They were blending in. They didn't want to stand out. So my family, as I said, they have Greek, you know, roots. So when they came and then settled down in Romania, they were super rich. I mean, they had properties, acres of arable land and green pastures and, you know, orchards and houses and money. And they owned this, you know, carriage transportation business. So we had jewelry, you know, that was really super expensive. So all of a sudden, when the communist regime came, you know, and took over the country, you know, in 1948, actually, when the banks and the big companies in Romania will be nationalized. So we lost all our properties, and we lost our lands, we lost our homes, and the only thing, you know, we didn't lose, there were a couple of pieces of really, you know, exquisite jewelry. So I was kind of like, I knew how my grandparents were and how my dad used to be taken to kindergarten, you know, in a carriage, and he used to have two babysitters, and he used to have people working, you know, for them. And all of a sudden, you know, that was just a dream. So it's like kind of like, you know, you wake up in the morning and whatever you've had, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And the country, you know, you thought you're going to live in forever. And right now, it's not a dream anymore. It's a cruel reality. And you don't want to stay in that country anymore. So it was really hard for me to blend. And it was really hard for me to kind of like follow the mainstream.
Did you get in trouble?
I was always, you know, I created trouble. I mean, I was a 4.0 student in high school, but definitely I was not very submissive. And so my parents were constantly called at school, not because of my grades, but because of my attitude.
Yeah, you weren't conforming.
Yes.
Yeah, free spirit. Well, that's cool. So then you moved to America. Was that like in 1989, right after the revolution?
No, it was in 1996. I heard about the green card lottery, and I didn't win not even 1 cent, you know, in all my lotteries, you know, the ones I applied. So I said, lottery, I don't know. I mean, I'm really not that lucky. And so I heard about this, you know, it's a government-based lottery where, you know, people from all over the world are going to apply. And in 96 for 97, when I applied, there were 8 million applicants from all over the world. And so they chose 100,000, first of all. And then they narrowed down the number to 55,000 based on your education, based on your experience, and then based on your ability to deliver a speech, you know, in front of the American embassy. Like in my case, it was Bucharest. So here I am, you know, I applied, I totally forgot about it, and, you know, I just got this huge envelope in the mail saying, congratulations, you've been randomly selected by the American government, and I was like, who, why, what's
that? Wow,
this?
Yeah, it was in the cards for you. That's awesome. So now, so now you're living like an American, and you don't have to worry about all these things. And,
oh, definitely not.
Yeah. So we're talking to Aura Imbaruz, right? Is that the way you
pronounce
it? Imbaruz, okay.
Yeah.
And the book is Out of the Transylvania Night. Do you want to give out your website so people can find out more about you?
The easiest, you know, website, it's transylvanianight.com.
Okay. Sounds good.
Transylvanianight.com, and it's obviously also my name.com, which is AURIMBARUS.com.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you so much for giving us your time this morning, and all the best with the book. And
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, kudos for your courage and everything. And I guess the human spirit lives on, you know, so.
It does, you know, and in case you want to go to Transylvania, you know, the city where I'm from actually was cultural capital of Europe in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And it was considered actually by Forbes the eighth most idyllic place to live in Europe. So I can always be your guide.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks
okay.
so much.
Okay, Aura, thank you so much.
Thank
All the best
guys.
To you.
Have an amazing day.
Thank you. Happy thank holidays you. To you. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays to you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So that's an interesting
Gosh,
story. You know,
so
I mean,
fascinating.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, we sit here and we live such an easy life
that's
and everything, you know, relatively speaking, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then people have to go through this stuff, you know, it's tough.
Man, I can't imagine that, you know.
Yeah.
That's stuff, too. You know, government control, government takeover. I think it's a lot realer. I mean, it's been going on for a long time, but it's just something that I really think about. You have to maintain those individual rights. You have to maintain... Mm-hmm. You know, individualism and you know.
Yeah, that's why the founding fathers thought about all these things because they came from countries where there was that sort of oppression, you know. And,
yeah.
So they came here and they realized, you know, if we're building a new country, we got to make sure we take care of civil rights.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, you know, communism, socialism, all of it, it's been done. You know, we've seen it. It's nothing new.
Yeah.
It's been done. They came here. It's not that it's necessarily bad. It's not very successful. And so they did something new, and not that it's perfect, but I definitely take this over, you know.
Yeah.
That.
I'm telling you, we're the best place in the world to live, and some people don't appreciate that, but I'm here to say.
Well, I mean, I think I know so many people that's funny because last night I went out. And everybody's disagreeing with me about as far as a lot of political things, and they're disagreeing with, you know, American and the American way of life and things like that. And I mean, I can understand, you know, that there's, you know, you gain stuff when you lose stuff, and you lose stuff when you gain stuff. So it's kind of like there's pros and cons.
Right.
And in some ways, you know, maybe the U.S. lacks some of the culture, the flavor, or the values in some way of other cultures and different countries. But what we have here, I think, is freedom in some ways.
And we'll have diversity, you know. I mean, it's hard to say that, you know, people are this and people are that, you know. I mean, but, yeah, we don't have a lot of history in, because we've only been around for 250 years. I mean, that's not like a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at countries that have survived for thousands of years, and, yes, they have history, they have more culture, but we've built our own here, you know,
yeah.
And apparently everybody wants to move here, so there's got to be something we're doing right here.
Well, and I think that says a lot.
Yeah.
But it's not cool to be too into the U.S. either.
No, we got a phone call. Let's see who that is.
Is this Pizza Hut?
Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Kara. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know I was going to be on the air. I was wanting to speak to Cameron.
Oh, to Cameron. Okay, well, this is not the right number to call. Go on
so
the website.
Sorry. Under,
that's fine. Thank you so much for calling.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
What is this, Kara?
We're just winners. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what this
we
is.
We're winners.
People, you know, and this doesn't happen on other shows, you know.
Come on now. We are.
I mean, the number clearly says on the website, you know, call-in number, you know. Studio call-in
number.
It's,
at this point, I just think it should always be that. We should have a random call.
Yeah.
And they're like, is Marge here?
They just pull their
here?
Leg and stuff.
Is there Marge? Where's Marge? Oh. Well, where's... Can you get her for me? Yeah. I mean, I only expect that. So...
That's funny, though, you know?
Oh, man. Well, you know, let's expose... Let's just, you know, like... Just keep our cool flag flying a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
So what are Jewish people going to do
on Christmas? Do the same thing they do every day, I suppose, you know.
Boring. Really?
Yeah, that's true. But no, I mean, I can't make generalizations, you know.
Yes,
I mean,
you
many
can.
People, no, I can't because I don't know what everybody's doing.
Go for it. It's fun.
Okay. So I'll make a generalization. Jews don't do anything on Christmas.
There you go. Well, you know, and neither do I. So I need to figure out where the Jewish people are going to be because that's where I'm going to be.
Well, I mean, but you've got friends and stuff. Nobody invited you or anything?
No, that's not true. I'm playing. I'm going to a really good friend of mine's house on Christmas Eve.
That'll be cool.
And the problem is that, you know, she knows I always roll up with a bunch of friends. And mm-hmm. she's like, can't it just be you for once? Can't I invite you and it just be you and not your 10 friends? And I'm like, it's a Christmas, Mom. She's not my mom, but no. Yeah. So it's funny. So I am only bringing one friend with me, and then that friend has texted me and is like, oh, so-and-so and so-and-so wants to come too. So it's like once that door opens, it's hard to close it. So
I know, but it's hard. But
it's the holidays,
I don't believe in inviting someone to something else that you were invited to.
Well, we're like family. Yeah. This girl and I are like family, you know?
Oh, really?
And so the friend that I'm bringing was there last year mm-hmm. at my friend's house for Christmas okay. Eve dinner.
All right.
So I was like, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah.
So that one slipped by. That one was fine. But the other ones that want to come,
No, not this time around.
No.
Huh?
But on Christmas Day, you know, they're gonna just do family stuff. My friend's gonna do family stuff. I don't want to do that. But now that she has a baby, because I normally get away without buying people presents, because I'm not really a present buyer.
Right.
Now they have a baby. I have to. It's like they expect it. I'm the aunt.
Okay, but for a baby, it's not that expensive. You know, you can find something cheap.
No, it's.
And still nice.
They're like, well, you know, we're just getting Gracie presents this year. Just Gracie. Aunt Kara. I was like, okay, so I can't show up for dinner without something.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy her a diaper.
A diaper?
I'm playing. No, she's a cute kid. I want to give her something really cute.
How old is she, the kid?
She's pushing 2 years old.
Okay.
She's getting up there.
There's a lot of stuff you can get for her.
She's so freaking cute.
Yeah.
I'll probably get her girly, girly, girly stuff.
Yeah. 2 years old is very cute.
Yeah. Get her like bows. She already has high heels. She's walking in.
Yeah.
I'll probably have to get her some just really cool outfits and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a cool kid. I love her.
What are you going to do when you become a mother? I mean, do you think you're going to have the patience for it?
I mean, we'll figure it out when it happens. I mean, I guess you have to learn as you go.
Because people always wait until they're ready, but you're never ready. You just got to do it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, kids are trying, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are trying little.
They're demanding, man. Your life changes forever the moment they come out.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything you ever knew about life changes.
Man, I don't know. I see kids with their moms and stuff, and part of me is like, oh, that's so cute and so sweet. And I just, like, there's a kid that showed up at the restaurant I work at, and he's dressed up in a spacesuit.
Really?
He's like maybe 4 years old, wears a spacesuit from NASA. Like a NASA-looking spacesuit.
Not a Buzz Lightyear?
No, it's like a NASA. And he has a little gun he carries.
Uh-huh.
And the mom's like, I can't get him out of the spacesuit. I can't. She's like, I cannot get him out. And then people tell him how cool it is, and then he just doesn't want to take it off more.
Yeah.
And she said he walks in sometimes, and he'll put a plastic box over his head.
A plastic box.
To kind of look like he's going into outer space.
Wow.
You know, he's so into it, like this kid. And I was like, that's such a cute kid. He's so imaginative.
And how old is he?
He's like four.
Oh.
Or three or four, and he's like really imaginative. I'm like, that's the kind of kid I want. The one that wants to wear a space suit.
Yeah.
How cute is that little space kid?
Yeah, well, make him to be like that.
I'm forcing you to be imaginative.
There you go.
Come up with something, huh? Like, perform for me.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to be as a mom. I mean, I definitely think I'm going to be a fun mom, a cool mom.
Yeah, you think you'll be into it?
Well, you have no choice once you can do
That's
it.
That's true.
Once it's done, you better get into it.
Yeah, but some women look at it, or not just women, but parents look at it as their kids as an obstacle, which is a very sad thing.
Well, that's how mine were. I don't know why the hell they had kids. I mean, I'm thankful to be alive, but I was like, what were they thinking?
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
I mean, they were married, and I guess they were playing house for a while, so they had two kids.
Yeah.
You know, right off the bat, my brother and I. And but you're like, why did you guys have kids?
Yeah, yeah, you're not really built for it.
Well, not just that. Like, then when I went to go live with my dad, like, my mom's just crazy, so she's just crazy. But then my dad, when we went to go live with him, he just always seemed irritated.
Really?
Like, always irritated.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, I didn't ask to be born. I said that so many times growing up.
Really?
I was like, I didn't ask to be born.
Wow, what a terrible thing to think.
Well, I mean, it's the way I felt. I mean, like I said, it's not that bad compared to a lot of people. It's not like the end of the world. But there's just some emotional elements where you're like, you know, why is it? Why do I have to feel bad right now that, you know, I need new shoes or something for school?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Kids shouldn't have to go through that.
I don't want to put you out, but I do need some lunch money. Nope, we're not doing that today. Okay. I'll figure it out. No, you just go back to bed.
You're right. Yeah. You should not have had kids.
Yeah, it's just like, really? Why are you... Okay. Yeah. You know, so it's definitely, like I said, that's definitely a time in my life where I'm like, woo! Yeah. We were laughing, though, because you know, I'm at that age where people are really starting to settle down, mm-hmm. and they're doing the family thing or whatever. And it's like you're at that cusp where it's like settle down, or if you don't settle down, it's like you relive like your crazy fun years on a whole different level. Mm-hmm. And you get to where you're like, I'm super single, I'm super free, woohoo! And it goes to like a different level.
Yeah.
Whereas most people, I think, take that energy and they go and they put it into a family.
Yeah.
And then you're just like back into yourself.
Yeah, it's all, you know, it's all priorities, you know, mm-hmm. and people have to figure out what it is they want from their life.
Yeah. Well, you have to meet the right person too. I mean, just having those things. I know so many people that are miserable. Like they're not, they don't have fun marriages. They don't have, they're tired. They're stressed. They don't know how to pay bills. They're not having sex. The kids are always wanting something. And it's just like, really, how much, really, how bad do I have it? Really, is single, yeah. is really being single so bad?
Not really.
Yeah, you know not what I mean? Really. Like, I just think it's people's mentality that where they want to kind of always be moving on to the next thing. So the next thing, because you happen to be the one built with, you know, mm-hmm. fallopian tubes and, you know, uterus, you need to pump out a kid.
Right.
Forget, they don't, you know. Like, so my aunt, she's like, well, I want grandchildren. I'm like, you've got two nephews. Okay, they're gonna pump out. They're both gonna have kids. Mm-hmm. My little brother, my close to me brother in age, he's proposing to his girlfriend, so they're gonna mm-hmm. pop out a kid.
Yeah.
But it's because I'm the girl for some reason.
I see. She expects you to have one or
yeah,
two.
Yeah, my
or three.
Dad too. They're like, hey, kids, kids.
Yeah, they want grandchildren.
I'm like, well, no. No, thanks. Oh, I mean, I do want children, but I'm just
but
like...
Not at this point.
It's just a weird pressure. You're yeah. like, it's not that it really pressures me because I don't care that much what they think on that level, but it's just the mentality that's funny to
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Plus, you're also single. You know, when you're married and everything, it's different.
Yeah, like one step at a time.
Yeah, but exactly. You know, but then there's two people taking care of the kids, so it's not that hard.
They're like,
or,
well,
yeah, it's not that hard. It's still very hard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same as if you had to raise the kids by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder.
Yeah. No, I don't. I just, I think you'd want to do it with the right person and the right timing and everything.
Yeah.
And.
But somehow the right timing never seems to come around, you know, so you have to make it the right time.
Yeah. But if you're like.
But you got to do it for the right reasons. You know, some women get pregnant to keep the husband around from leaving, but that's a bad reason to have kids. Terrible reason.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really think about it like too much. It just crosses my mind occasionally. I'm like, oh, I'm an adult. I could have kids. I probably should at some point. But then I don't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
And I go about doing my thing.
Good. Just wait for it to happen.
Yeah. It's so funny because in this town there's so many different ambitions and things you want to do. And I think if I was on a farm somewhere, I'd be like, yeah, I guess let's do the kid thing.
Yeah, do the kid thing.
Well, the TV's not doing so good. Let's get some kids and have them entertain us.
Yeah.
Let's put them out. Let's pop a couple out.
Help out with the chores.
Yeah, get those kids to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, here it costs a lot of money to have kids.
Yeah.
How are your kids doing?
My kids are fine. Very good.
What about gifts? Did you get them anything cool?
For Hanukkah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I didn't get them anything.
What?
Yeah, it was a terrible thing. I wasn't even thinking about it. But I always give them a lot of shit, you know? I mean, they're fine. They'll be fine.
Because you don't do Christmas Day stuff. So.
No, so I always buy them stuff. You know, I mean, even when it's not a holiday.
Well, did they say anything? Dad, where's our Hanukkah present?
No, they did not, believe it or not. And I, because you see, I totally forgot. It wasn't a conscious thing not to get them anything, because mm-hmm. I always get them stuff.
And what about your wife? She didn't
But, you know, besides, you know, what do I give them? I give them money. I don't buy anything for them because I don't know what they want. So you give them money, you know, and then I give them money all the time. So what's the difference, you know?
That's funny.
Yeah. Do you believe it's been raining for 3 days straight? I've never seen L.A. this wet before where it just doesn't stop raining.
Mm.
It literally has not stopped for 3 days.
Mm.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm not complaining, but it's very unusual for L.A.
It's like, you know, all you people on your antidepressants out here in Los Angeles, you might want to pump up the volume a bit because, you know, I think it might trigger some people.
Yeah.
Pump, you know,
up, people, the
pump up the volume. Pump up the volume. Just because it's a sunny, it's sunny like 365, almost 5 days a year. So
right.
You get consecutive days of rain and people are holding on by a thread.
I know. People don't
like
it.
They're like, what is this? What is this? Wet? It's wet from the sky? I don't get it.
Yeah. I know. And people drive like shit.
It was almost me this morning. I almost ran into the guy I was following to his house to pick him up. Yeah.
A
friend of mine goes to
the airport. It's very dangerous driving in the rain.
Well, you got
to
do it.
And people here are not really accustomed to it, so they don't know how the fuck to drive. You know, either too fast, too slow, changing lanes.
Crazy. Well, it's gonna be. We're going to have some latent heat, people, after this.
We do. Didn't you notice it's not cold outside?
It was not totally
cold.
Chilly yesterday.
Yeah, chilly, but
not cold. After it rains, according to meteorologist Sam in the morning,
yes,
he says there's latent heat that water reduces
exactly.
Releases heat.
And the clouds keep the heat trapped. So, yeah. You're yawning.
Can't tell you how exciting weather talk is.
So, I mean, why did you stay up so late last night?
Because I went out and I hung out with my peeps, mm-hmm. had a few drinks, had garlic fries. We all shared these fries that were drenched in garlic and onions and like cheese.
Yeah.
We ate that. So I was like, it was good because all across the board we stank. So we couldn't smell it on one person, you know. Did that. Had them laughing. We were just joking all night. It's really funny. One of the guys is this really funny guy who he just always, he plays a character of like this dude who's always looking for action and, you know, always has some kind of sexual innuendo joke. Mm-hmm. But he's very not threatening about it. It's very funny. It's just a running joke. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's just a lot of really repressed dudes specifically.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of feel like guys are very similar to, like, dogs. And I know that's not the first person to make it. I don't mean like, oh, you're a dog. But I mean...
No, I know.
Just
I agree.
Always in heat, sniffing... And what, yeah. Tails wagging, and they're like, what do you need? I'll get it.
Wanting to hide the salami, in other words.
Yeah.
Always.
Like, always looking for something.
Right.
And it's like it's on their mind. They have to talk about it. Da, da, da. Even if they don't want it with you, it's just...
Yeah. That's what we think about all the time.
And you're kind of like, can you reel it in a bit? Can we focus in on the conversation a bit? You know?
It's hard. You know, and the younger you are, the harder it is to concentrate.
This guy's not very young. He's in his 40s.
Okay. Well, I just said, you know, I mean, for me, it's the same.
But
I haven't
let me
changed.
Ask you, for as a man, if you're getting, if you're getting, you know, getting action regularly, does it then kind of go like that whole I got to talk about it every 2 seconds and make this joke and that joke? Does it kind of go away because you feel like you're really getting an outlet?
Maybe for some people. For me, you know, I've always been very sexual. So, you know, I walk down the street. That's all I think about. You know, I mean, you see women and you know, and they turn on this thing in you and you just like that. Now, you know, at the same time, I can't say, you know, we are like dogs. I mean, we are in a certain way.
In a way.
But at the same time, I mean, obviously we think about a lot of things because men have done some great things in the world, in history and so forth. So obviously we're able to think about other things. But at the same time.
Did you guys get that at home listening?
Yeah. You get a woman halfway decent, and you want her.
Halfway decent. She's got all her own teeth. Check. She's alive. Check. That's looked kind of like a yes. We'll just go with yes. Check.
Yeah. So do you think a lot of people are not working this week?
I'm working.
Yeah. Because you're in retail.
Yeah.
You
not
know,
retail,
you're in
restaurant.
Restaurant, whatever.
Stop up, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so because there's not a lot of people here today.
Yeah. There's not a lot of people anywhere.
Yeah.
I think people take the time off for
good.
2 weeks.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Relax. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of my dreams. Get in the backseat, baby. Get into my car. Ooh. You like that song, don't you? Hey, hey, you, get into my car. Do you guys ever, well, I can't ask you that because I'm not allowed to
get
ask.
Into my car. Get off my cloud.
No, get into my car. Hey, hey, you, get in the backseat, baby, get into my car. Oh.
The Rolling Stones?
Oh, you.
Get
no,
off
this isn't
my
Rolling
cloud.
Stones.
Oh, okay.
Get into my car. You don't know that? I thought you did.
No, there's
freaking
a song
like
that.
It's like 80s or something.
Yeah. I don't think we're talking about the same song.
Clearly not. Clearly we're not talking about the same song. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was. Do you think this is gay? I was listening to the Carpenters the other day.
Yep.
But I did post it on Facebook. But I thought it was. No, I love this music, and a lot of people do.
What song?
A lot of them.
But so what's gay that you were listening to them?
That's what I'm asking. If it that I'm listening to them.
No.
You don't think it is?
No.
Oh, I thought you were saying it is.
It's a joke.
Okay.
No, you said, is this gay? Yes, just for fun. But
I
no.
see. Okay.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You're just listening to music.
I mean, it's like candy kind of music, you know, but it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got the best voice ever.
Karen Carpenter?
Yeah. And they've had some big hits. Besides, it's the memories that it brings up, you know? Memories
now,
from childhood.
This is a non sequitur, but I saw the movie The Black Swan.
Oh, you did?
With Natalie Portman. Great film.
Really?
Great film.
I mean, but
it's
would men enjoy it? It's a ballet
movie.
No,
believe me. It's what's fascinating is they took a ballet movie, like you just said, and they actually made it a thriller.
Really?
And it's like a psychological thriller.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very interesting. And you'd like it because there's some gratuitous sex scenes.
So who says I like those? I prefer porn, not sex scenes in regular movies.
Well, don't be that gross.
That's for women more, those sex scenes.
No, let me tell you, these sex scenes were for men. Cause
really?
No, it was one girl, there's a masturbation scene.
Mm.
And you're like, ugh, I just don't want to see that. Like, I don't want to see that.
You don't want to see
no,
that?
No, I mean, I can understand a sex scene, but I don't want to watch somebody whack, like, she doesn't whack off, but I don't know what the girl word is for it. Get it on.
Rub one off.
Yeah, I don't want to see her, like, get it on with her hand. You know?
Well, some people do.
Yeah, and I think they're guys, so I think that's...
Not necessarily.
That's
not
true,
necessarily.
But I think...
They're just not Kara.
No, it's what you... It's called... It exists. It's called knowing your audience. When you do something, you're knowing who this appeals to. There's always the exception. We understand that. But when you generally put a woman... A girl-on-girl, you know, a girl-on-girl action, unless you're a lesbian, is for men.
Yeah. But now, I'm asking you, do you think that they really plan to aim this movie at guys? It's a ballet movie.
Well, I think that it's going to it's an art. It's very much artsy, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a different, you know, it's got that. But I don't know, because it's a thriller. I think that a lot of guys would like it.
Yeah.
And because there's these crazy scenes, it kind of can pull in the male audience.
Yeah.
You know.
But you got to remember, it's not always because of who the target market is. It's sometimes because that's who the director and the writers are. They're guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they like.
I think that has.
Because if you noticed, a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows are like male fantasies.
Yeah.
You know, older man, younger girl, you know, all these kind of things.
I know,
so,
it's quite, starts to get old after a while.
Like the movie American Beauty, for example. That's like a total male fantasy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he doesn't hide it either.
Yeah. No, not at all.
It's a great film as well.
Yeah, it is. It is. The part I liked is in the beginning, they show him masturbating in the bathroom, and then he goes, everything is downhill from there. I start off my day like that, and everything's downhill from there.
That's so funny.
I'm telling you, man.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
man.
Okay, well, we better wrap up.
I want to send a shout-out. Okay,
go ahead.
Vive la France! Vive la France! Le poisson! That is to one of our listeners in France. His name's Chris. Chris, thank you so much for the
show. Hey, Chris.
Chris,
what's up?
Cool. We also have Belle. Belle found me on Facebook. She followed the directions to follow
cool.
me on Facebook or to be my friend on Facebook, as some of you did not.
What a cool name, Belle.
But her name's Belle, and she's way cool. And shout out to Belle, my girl, up in, I think she's in Minnesota. I'm not sure. Michigan. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But she's cool. Anyway, shout out.
And then we had one from Wesley, I think in North Carolina, if I remember correctly. So we'll give him a shout out as well.
Hey, Wesley.
You guys all write us great things, and it really makes it all worth it.
It does.
And the rest of you, if you haven't written yet, please feel free. We love to be loved.
And find me on Facebook, Kara Kimbrough.
All right, Kara, thank you so much. Everybody, thank you for listening. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been
been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.